5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff.
That song gets me going. Welcome to the
song.
I do too. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Hello, Goldie.
Hello, baby.
Love that song. Thank
Love
you so much
song.
For playing it.
Oh, my God. Right on, babe. Thank you so much. Tell your son thank you for allowing us to you know, really start our show on some sweet vibrations. It's a good
I'll
vibe.
Tell him.
Okay, definitely. So, so how are you?
I'm good. Blackie just showed up. She's meowing. She must have she must have heard Zach's music. And no, I'm good. It's you know, it was snowing today, and I was still out in the woods before that. It's raining tonight. But it's spring, you know, and spring showers. Spring,
right.
What, May flowers? Oh, that's April showers. So, but anyway, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, I'm pretty good, too. I'm, you know, got home from work, and my back is, you know, I'm not 100%, but, you know, amazingly, you know, I'm definitely ready to take care of Cormac tomorrow and do my 8-hour gig, and, I am actually quite amazed lately, in my humble opinion, the potential of the energy that we're in, the potential of the frequencies, are so vast in what we can do. I mean, I really do believe miracles and magic are not. It's not about, you know, someone bestowing a miracle on me. The miracle is really simply, okay, how much can I take into my imagination to create the world that I want to live in based on the laws of my imagination? Not based on the laws of physics, but based on the laws of my imagination. Because in my humble opinion, that is where we are right now. That's why, you know, it's really important that, you know, at this point of the game, to focus as much on releasing things as you're taking them in, because there's a necessity to being fluid. And I'm finding in my own experiences, things happen when my whole cell, I'm cellularly on board with certain focuses and belief systems. And there's still stuff that I can feel, okay, it's just into my head, and the way it seems to drop down is when a situation comes up, instead of just responding like I always respond, expecting to hear something, see something, taste something, whatever, I kind of leave myself open in like a witness point. You know, I'm at the witnessing going, okay, instead of saying, you know, because I so pride myself on knowing, but I'm really recognizing that knowing at this point is limiting me. So I don't want to know. I want to witness and kind of stay supple in.
That's a big shift, actually.
Yeah, well,
not wanting to know, just witness. That's That's very different, you know, for anyone. I like that.
Yeah. Well, and cause
I like when I hear these new things you're saying.
Well, it's so funny, too, because I didn't think... I was saying to myself earlier, because I got home from work a little late. I got here about 7 o'clock, or 6:45, and, you know, I was getting ready to do the show, and I was going, okay, so what, you know, what are you going to glean? You know, what are you going to share that you got this week? And I was like, well, you know, this week I worked my ass off, and I hurt my back, and, I mean, I have things I want to share, but I was like, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm going to share, because normally I'm, you know, doing this wonderful expansional awareness, you know, sitting in the woods or lounging in the hot tub, you know. See, now here it is. Okay, so I have a belief that insights come to me when I'm in the woods or I'm relaxing, you know, at the Y. But I can tell you right now, one of the things I've noticed, and I am consciously doing this, Cormac works like 5 towns away. It's like, it takes about 35 minutes from my house to his house. And what I am intentionally doing is taking all different routes. I have not taken the same route twice. I'll take I-95, or I'll come back roads, or I'll come home the Merritt Parkway. And I'm not saying, you know, at some point I'm going to run out and I'm going to have to, you know, start repeating the routes. But there was something that really fueled something inside me going, yeah, look, it's like I want to learn the whole layout of the land, so mm-hmm. I'm doing it all, you know, a quick hop onto to 95, you know, taking some back roads, figuring out where I can take the back roads, and I don't know, just everything lately for me is template. It's like everything's a template, and for me, it feels like, okay, stay fluid in, you know, because I'm not in my head going, find one way to get there and use it. I'm not.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
I'm really about, you know, kind of, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm feeling in the moment which way I want to go. Now, of course, it dictates, you know, if I-95 had, well, and it's so funny, if I-95, you know, has a crash or something, I would obviously take back roads or something. But I'm not even checking the TV, you know, at their house before I leave. I just get in the car and it's like, okay, which way are you going to go, you know, today? And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back roads. It's like, well, alrighty then, Goldie, then go back roads. So, and the template that is really important to me is stay open, stay fluid. Stay open, stay fluid.
But that's happening for me too in so many different ways. You know, just how like even you said to me today, but, you know, how the day presented itself and other things came up rather than what you thought you would do. And, you know, I have a few things that, you know, you do, but then, like, you know, all of a sudden this friend, you know, offered to do these posters for me, and that was new, and I was like, yes, and it was perfect. You know, I didn't even think about it, but next thing you know, I had the posters, and they were on their way to New York, and, you know, it's just, and I didn't even have to think about it. They just showed up for me, and I went, and then later I went, oh, yeah, I did mean to do those posters today, but I never would have thought that's how they would have gotten done.
Nice.
You know, but it was just so, you know, like being in the, as you told me the other day, being just in the river, or being the river, or,
exactly.
You know, so I'm noticing that, too, and I do think that the template, you know, and it's so funny how when you started going into the water, I just think that was a template, and so much has changed since then, you know, for you. I mean, from my witnessing you. And
right on. Thank you.
You know, and yeah, and you could probably back that up and go, when you really started spending so much time in nature, and, you know,
absolutely.
Lisa and I, when we were running this morning before the snow hit, and it was just so much fun in this beautiful park, but it was the same thing, how we're out there, you know, probably 5 days a week, just breathing in the oxygen, in the trees, in the trails, and you can't even explain it, but it does something. It puts you in touch with the natural unfolding and rhythm that is unexplainable, but I'm witnessing it too. And, you know, and then it becomes just part of you. And you don't, you know, it's just, you know, you look back and go, huh, that's amazing how that fell into place. Or who would have thought that? Or, you know, I'm agreeing that even the conversation you and I had on, was that Sunday morning? Was that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
That was our amazing conversation.
And we'll share
about
it tonight.
Template.
We'll share. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That, yeah, no, definitely. Because, you know, I like that you bring up the nature, you know, connecting with nature. Because I was listening to Evie Lorgan on... I can't remember the name of the show, but I want to remember. Shadow Voyagers with Sienna Lee.
Okay.
And, you know, they really got into the discussion about that there's, it's like there are people who are connected to their soul, and there are people who are, and I don't believe they're disconnected, but they feel disconnected. In other words, I think ultimately if we were completely disconnected from our soul, that's death. You know, so it's like you're connected to your soul, but only from an unconscious level, not a conscious level. Where the people who are connected to their soul, and I know I'm connected to my soul, and I can tell you, I'm seeing it so, and it's so funny that you brought up me being in the water. You know, since I've started going to the water, I just want to share with you guys that there are unbelievable insecurities that I have been overcoming as I, quote-unquote, go to this public bathhouse. You know, I am super not confident in a bathing suit. I mean, I am just not confident. It is never, even when I was thin, I was never confident in a bathing suit. It's just... You know, I'm Russian and Romanian ethnic-wise, so I'm very pale, and, you know, I don't go to the beach because I burn, and, you know, so the whole culture behind bathing suits for me growing up was just uncomfortable for me. I didn't even wear shorts for many, many years in public. I didn't like my legs. I didn't like the color. Hence, I spray tanned for a while.
Oh, let's talk about that later.
Sorry, that came up yesterday for us. So anyway, so you know what's happening now is, you know, I'm at the YMCA, you know, and I'm doing it because, for one thing, my body needs to sit in a steam room. I need to sit in a jacuzzi, and at this point now I'm realizing I need to swim. And what's so amazing to me is I do have the fears, the insecurities come up. But it's like my soul comes in, and it just encourages me that just literally it's the same kind of message or gentle shove that I remember I used to get when my soul would come in to get me to the forest. And it's what happens to me is the program will play in my head, the insecurities will play, and my body just keeps moving forward. That I find myself in the car, feeling totally insecure, but I'm still moving towards the YMCA, or I'm still moving towards the forest. And so, what I really think is incredibly the strong message for right now is the true mystical energy of being with Mother Earth, in that. When the soul comes in, at least for me at this point, my soul at this point, and I'm not saying my soul wasn't with me when I was doing cocaine, because my soul was with me then too. This isn't just because I'm doing healthy things.
Right.
But it is now that it's guiding me towards life. I've expressed that I want to leave the matrix, and my soul is now helping me leave the matrix by helping me. You know, instead of when pain happens to me, instead of turning to a pharmaceutical, you know, I'm sitting in the water or I'm going swimming. You know, I'm more active in my well-being than I've ever been. I mean, I've never done this kind of stuff. And again, I didn't really need to. You know, That's why I don't think my soul really wasn't not with me then. But I feel better about my choices. And I definitely feel better about the insecurities that I have, and I'm doing it anyways, because that has not always been, you know, I enjoy being out, you know, out and about, but the voices in my head that, you know, would make me insecure used to have a true grip on my experience, and now I can feel that, you know, there's a part of me that is stronger than that voice, and
you're witnessing it,
and I'm witnessing.
And I see it as a natural progression, because, you know, I mean, I have my own natural progression that I, over the years, just witnessing, you know, me doing things that might have been foreign before, or I just wouldn't have. But me, I've been witnessing you, and it's definitely this natural progression. It's not like a checklist. It's not like I have to.
No, exactly.
It's just happening.
Truly. Yeah. I mean, you know, because, right, I mean, it's funny because I would go to the Y and I would talk to certain women. They'd be like, you know, older women coming back from the pool, and they're like, you know, do you swim? And I was like, oh, no. You know, I just come here and do all the relaxing stuff. that's the way I'm happy to fly and just, you know, I'll just go out to dinner and eat dessert. I'm cool with that. I mean, that's just, I got that energy in me. I have no guilt or shame around totally pampering myself. You know, but part of it was, you know, the minute you go to the pool, now I'm exposed to, like, in the women's room, in the women's center, first of all, it's only women. Most of them are older. Where the minute I go to the pool, you know, now there's kids, there's guys, there's everybody, and, you know, I mean, I could tell I was standing there like kind of an idiot yesterday, and I didn't know which lane to get in. And, you know, one of the things that is undeniable is the patrons, as well as the employees of the YMCA in New Canaan, everybody has really been genuinely kind to me, you know, just helpful in getting me, you know, giving me directions how to get someplace, or, you know, these two girls in the pool, clearly, you know, devout swimmers, you know, just go in this lane, that's cool. And I was like, but I'm not going to move very fast. And they were like, no, don't worry about it, just go. And I was like, all right, right on. You know, like,
so
you know,
great.
They just, yeah, and it sounds so, you know, it sounds simple, but I can't even
Goldie?
Tell you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? No.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Janine?
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
No.
You can't hear me?
I'll call in.
All right, I'll call in.
No.
I'll call back too. Yes, call in.
What?
Call in. Wait a minute, let me type in. Call in. Hello? Okay. All right, let me get Janine on. Okay, can
Hello?
You guys hear us now? I can. Okay. You can hear us, but I guess we couldn't hear each other, but
yeah.
All right, can you guys hear us now? Gemini, can you hear us?
I think they can. I can hear you both say hello.
Yeah, but right, but okay, well. Okay.
I heard a third voice. Is someone else on? No.
Well, that's
boy.
A whole other story. Okay. Well, that's 2 weeks in a row. We have technical glitches, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you know, there it
we'll
is.
Roll
yeah.
with it.
We'll roll with it. I can roll with it. Yeah. I just want to make sure they can hear us. I just need somebody to confirm that.
Okay.
And then we can move along. I didn't put a question mark. I put an exclamation point. I hear you. Okay, good. Okay.
Back to the pool.
Well, back to
being open
and also being, in my humble opinion, being connected to your soul. Like, right now, if there was ever a time, I'm sure there are other ways to connect to your soul, because I was thinking about this as well. You know, all those MK Ultra mind control subjects, you know, Montauk people, ironically, they connected to their soul through massive torture. Inevitably it broke through. They broke through for those who broke through anyways. You know, it's
okay.
Like, it seems to me, you know, that's an extreme route to go. I'm grateful if I don't have to go through that. I don't know if I've done that in another lifetime or not. I haven't done it this lifetime. You know, I've definitely worked through my pain, and I see how pain breaks through membranes of limitations. But I thought about it. I don't know that the only way to get connected to soul is through a connection through Mother Nature. But it
oh,
is.
No, because, I mean, major conflict, you know, upheavals in life, they definitely stimulate, initiate, you know, transformation. Yeah, for sure. I mean, some,
right.
You know, a lot of people's, I mean, mine, you know, just the painful changing of my life by, you know, coming out of a marriage that was painful, and I cracked wide open, and it was incredible.
There it is, exactly.
Incredible,
yes.
You know, so.
Well, and that's so good
to
know, right? Because, see, ultimately, that just tells me, you know, we're going to get there whether through Mother Nature or through our own discomfort of, you know, the matrix squeezing in on us. And,
yeah.
Because I posted something today, like, if we know that we have a connection to our soul, like for me, knowing my soul is within me and has a broader picture, you know, has a kind of a, not just more expanded in its knowingness, but its capacity to embody third dimensional experiences. The soul seems more capable to handle more than the personality of Goldie. The personality of Goldie, I get it. You know, I've wanted to quit this game on so many occasions.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At this point, I really don't want to quit. I mean, there's this, you know, I really sense that I have an ally, and my ally is my soul. And again, I want to reference that it's not just about the fact that I'm doing well-being to my body, because the soul really comes in when the pain comes in. That's when you don't think you can take it anymore, the soul will tell you, you can. You can.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how strong we are in spirit, where we don't think we're that strong, you know, from the ego or the personality. And the reason why I say that is, you know, it's really interesting. I'm watching myself that, you know, I got this new job, and I'm super stoked about it. I mean, I really enjoy the baby. I'm really enjoying the mom who is home, you know, in a very small apartment. It's fabulous. And I'm enjoying the money, and I certainly won't beat around the bush on that either. And what's so interesting, though, is, well, first of all, the story of how it came about, which is a good friend of mine who had also been out of work for like several years, and not for lack of trying. I think I mentioned him last week or the week before, where he wasn't paying child support, and his ex-wife kept throwing him in jail. And then when someone would bail him out, that would be the money they would use for child support. Which, you know, I get it, you know, if it's a deadbeat dad, but, you know, my friend is really just, you know, how can I put this? Energetically, he built himself into a cocoon where the more years that was happening to him, the more he just started running this program of, you know, nothing goes right for me, everything goes wrong. And it was really interesting because there was one day I was in the woods a couple of weeks ago and his number came up on my cell phone as a missed call. And when I called him, he didn't answer. And then he called me back and said, you know, I was at this place filling out resumes and stuff online. He goes, because I got to find a job by next week on Thursday because I go to court, and if I don't have a job, I'm going to get, you know, they're going to put me in jail. And he's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. And I was like, he goes, but I keep timing out on the computer at this place. And I was like, I said, well, hey, you know, I got a computer. You know, why don't I come pick you up? And, you know, I'm not a speedy typer, but I'm probably faster than you. So, you know, I'll help you fill out these applications and, you know, and we'll get you a job. And so we did that. And it was so interesting because within 4 days of helping Kenny, I got the job with Cormac. And I'm telling you, it was so, like, it was so undeniable to me that, because I think I even said it to you, Janine, it's like, if I knew, you know, one of the things that actually clicked in my head was, if I want to help myself, the best way to do that is help somebody else get what I want. You know? So it was so, the irony
it
was.
It showed up. It showed up just in, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't seek, it just happened, which is an interesting, but to me, like, synchronicity or, once again, the flow, the natural progression or the natural flow, and then you do have the, I mean, it's right there for you, you know,
exactly.
And you acted on it.
Exactly.
But,
well,
yeah.
And it was so funny because, you know, from the moment his number showed up as a missed call, I said to him, you know, did you call me? And he goes, no. You know, so the first time his number showed up was truly, you know, one of those divine moments that something was, you know, there was a metaphysical aspect to it, and that was he didn't make that call, and yet there it was on my cell phone. And what was so amazing, so of course I called him up and told him I got the job, and, you know, but what really came down to amazing was I had got the job on Saturday. The following week is coming up, which is last week, and we're coming into Thursday. And if I tell you the story, I swear this is, you know, this isn't a soap opera. I mean, what happened to Kenny was every single thing that could potentially block him from getting the job. I'm talking, okay, so Wednesday night he gets a call from Home Depot. He got the job. He got the job, one of the jobs that he really wanted, which was Home Depot. And what was so interesting is, so he goes down there, and it's Wednesday night. He's got court on Thursday, so he's got to have his paperwork together by Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, so to not go to jail. And the paperwork at Home Depot, they go, okay, we need your license, and we need you to fill out some stuff. So Kenny gives his license, and his license is expired. So that was block number one, and it's Wednesday night, and he's got to be in court by 10 o'clock Thursday morning. So he goes, okay, what I got to do is let me back up a little bit, because before he got the call from Home Depot, he had gone to a friend of his who owns a business who he had done some work for before, and he goes, this is an important part. He goes, listen, can you write me up something that says I'm working for you so I can give it to them, you know, and not go to jail? And his friend, this guy's his friend, he goes, I can't do that. I'm going to get in trouble. And Kenny was like, come on, man. You know, I, I'm I don't want to go to jail. I just don't want to go. And, you know, I'm trying to get a job. Nothing's come through yet. And his friend was like, you know, I don't want to do that. So Kenny had walked to his friend's house. This is Wednesday. So he left his friend's house, and he told me this in a way that I so felt in my whole being. He goes, when I left his house, it was like dead man walking. I was so surrendered. And he had surrendered to the idea of, I'm going to jail. Nothing's coming through. Within 2 minutes of that walk, Home Depot called him and told him he got the job. Which, you know, I'm telling you, in the 11th hour, in the 59th minute, in the 59th second, never count out the organic. You know, the organic really is, in my humble opinion, that which comes in when we reach a point where, because to me, when Kenny told me that story, I was like, see, the key is in that is the surrender. His simple willingness, he put in the effort, and then he just surrendered that. You know, because I was prepared to tell him, listen, when you go, get your GED. He doesn't have his GED, and he didn't graduate. And I'm like, so make use of, you know, the county's time, you know, get
right.
your GED, you know, stop, keep trying to come out, and instead play the paradox. I mean, this is what I was prepared to tell him because it was all I thought I had for him. So anyways, okay, so he gets the call from Home Depot. He finally gets to Home Depot and his license is expired. And she goes, I can't even tell you, I can't write you up anything without, I need your license to be, you know, up to date. Otherwise, essentially, she couldn't give any paperwork saying he got the job. So the following morning, he goes to go to a
motor vehicle closed early that night, right? It was the one because what?
Well, no. What
go?
Happened was it Monday through Saturday, every day, Monday through Saturday, except Thursday, motor vehicle opens up at 7:15.
Oh, right. Okay.
On
yeah.
Thursdays, it opens at 9:15.
Right.
Okay, so that was strike two for Kenny. So,
right.
Because he's got to be at court at 10. So he got to the motor vehicle at 8:15. He goes, he's like eight people deep. You know, he's really panicking that he's not going to be able to get, you know, his license renewed and to the courthouse by 10. He goes into motor vehicle, and all of a sudden they make a broad announcement in the whole building that their system is down. And he was telling me the contractions that he was feeling in his body, like every turn was just compression upon compression. You know, like for him to get this, was no walk in the park. I mean, it was like he had to suck it up and really go through his trials. So beyond that, after that, finally he gets it. He called his lawyer, told him where he was. He gets to the courthouse at 11.
Doesn't he have to go to Home Depot now?
Well, right. After he got that, he had to go to Home Depot to get all the paperwork, which he did. So he didn't get to the courthouse till 11. And what was so interesting is the judge noted that he was late, but he told him why he was late. And I'm like, God, if a judge can't give you a break because you're getting the paperwork to show that you're working, like,
right,
you know,
right.
These things happen when they happen. Sometimes they happen the day of court. You know, life isn't so tidy that it happens a week before and we can, you know, take our time doing these things. It
right.
happens in the 11th hour, in the 59th minute, in the 59th second. And what was so interesting is when he brought his paperwork up, I guess, for them to look at, whoever was taking the information that checks that this is real, all the information she was asking for, he said in his head, thank God he didn't get the fake one from his friend because they would have figured it out and they would have thrown him in jail. And he goes, I just would have been locked up. There would have been no coming out. So the key was, it was in divinity that the friend said no.
Amazing.
And he got that, you know. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I talked to him after, because the day he's in court was the first day of me working with Cormac. And no, it wasn't. My bad. I had worked already the past week. But I was driving, and I basically knew, because I said, listen, I want to know how it goes with you on Thursday. And he goes, well, call me. If I answer my phone, I'm not in jail.
Uh-huh.
And when I called him and he answered, I was like, oh, cool. You answered. And then he told me, he goes, I got the job. And I went, oh, wow. I mean, and then he told me the story of what he had to do to get the job. And I'll tell you, I mean, two things went through my mind. One, his ability to appreciate this job was so deep. It was so, and it was so funny because I was in the same space, because the two of us have not really had a job. I've been making money, but I didn't have this, chunk of change that I could rely on every week. For like 2.5-3 years, he had the same thing, and there was like, there was just this incredible reflection that only the two of us could give each other, because we were both in a situation, and it was like, it so clearly hit me. It's like, if you want something for yourself, help somebody else get it. I mean, that just truly stood out for me. And even he said it, he goes, yeah, that is pretty wild that, that we kind of just hooked back up again and started hanging out, and, within a week, we each have a job. I go,
that is pretty wild.
It just, it's the kind of things, when the endings happen at 11:59, there's a perfection in it. And,
you told me the story, and I mean, I was locked into that story, and, they are, those true stories are amazing, and they're inspiring. They're inspiring, because
exactly.
I really feel when some of, the most incredible things happen when the tension and the intensity, and it is the tipping point, so to speak, if you can just, I mean, he is such an example of staying with it and keep going and keep going. And, I loved the story, and you had me locked into it, and I mean, you felt it when you were telling me.
I did. Well, I basically called you right after I got out of the Y and talked. It was such a, it was compelling. It was compelling the way, and I'm telling you, one of the things that clicked me was, and it was the day after the equinox. And I totally got this sense that prior to the equinox, it's like there was a karmic debt that all of us had to pay. It's like, I got the job, but I wrenched my back. And Kenny got the job, but, in order to get it, he's got to go through a, tension gate. And
yeah, like initiation after initiation.
There
after
you go, initiations, exactly.
Right,
And it just felt to me like, that when you reach that point where, the pressure is just so big, like that you surrender, there's just a surrender to it. I said to him, I go, it's important for you to understand now that you're no longer, because like he would say things like, that's my luck. It's always bad luck. That's what I get. I was like, I go, you're not allowed to say that anymore because you paid that debt.
Right.
That karma's paid, and it's incredibly important for all of us. This really is a message to all of us. Living in the past is detrimental in the energy that we are actually in. The ability to know that a debt has been paid and to reprogram, I mean, let's use the terminology that fits here, to reprogram yourself in a deserving self-esteem. And it's not, there's no earning this. It's simply because the time is that the cycle is over. Because we're the microcosm of the macrocosm. Mother Earth had a contract that allowed the things on her planet to take place. That was a contract that she said was ultimately, of course, serving all of us from a soul perspective, because it does serve us to be in this game of limitation. It serves us because it's part of the journey of understanding light, is understanding the contrast of it. And, you know, we're coming into the birthing of ourselves, and this isn't, this journey was never meant to be just about good-natured beings. It was about learning the aspects of light, which means you're going to be experiencing dark, because dark is the aspect of light. That it's very much a part of it. And it just feels to me that, you know, when I was saying this to Kenny, it, like, in the same way that when I hurt my back, you know, the first thing out of my mouth, I could hear myself thinking, I can't handle this job. You know, I don't have the back for it. And I swear to God, and then I guillotined. I guillotined that belief system and went, no, get off your ass and make your back strong enough so you can do this job. You know, there's no quitting any. You know, it's like, this is a job. It took you 3 years to get a job at my price range with people I enjoy. You know, it's like, don't be so naive to just throw away these opportunities, because, you know, I swear they're like lovers that come into our life, that true lovers that, you know, you're going to dance with them. They want to be with you as much as you want to be with them. And for anybody who's been single, you know, a significant part of your life, I can tell you, I used to think by sheer numbers, if I dated enough people, I was going to meet the guy I was going to meet and fall in love. And that is just, you can just keep on dating infinitely and not meet the one. You can just have, you know, hundreds of bad dates, which I experienced. So, you know, there's nothing that says the number game has to show up when it comes to contracts, soul contracts. The key is to know when a soul contract has shown up, because when the soul contract shows up, that's when you start understanding there's a value now to making my back stronger. There's a value to me putting in the work to make my body stronger, and that's so I can have a relationship with a soulmate who is Corman. I asked my soul, and who called me, Heather, the mother, or Cormac? And it was Cormac. And you know, I have relationships with these kids, and I love it. And you know, but you got to, you know, it's knowing the difference too, that when the last nanny job I had, and the mother was like, you know, keep your arm against the wall, the baby could jump out of your hands, and do this, don't do that. You know, I also knew at that point, like, okay, the money's here, but this is not my soul relationship. You know, like, I wasn't meant to be around, you know, a neurotic mother of a first-time kid, because that, from a soul point of view, that's not going to, I'm not going to last there. I'm not, you know, I'm just not. You know, because I could quit that, because I knew that that was not a soul relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, it's the voices in my head. I hear the voices in my head of doubt and insecurity. I'm just learning more and more to trump those voices with actions that take me where I want to be by choice.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And, I see a thread also for Kenny, for you, for me. Patrick O'Neill wrote a really cool story today. The thread for me is one of the things, adding to what you said, was there's a certain intensity that shows up when there's opportunity, there's transformational possibility. And, you know, the kind of, I'm trying to think of the right words here, the sensitivity or the awareness of a certain intensity to just go with it, stay with it, not buckle, not, surrender to, you know, the giving up quality, like not Kenny's giving up, like when the guy said, no, I can't.
No, a surrender like that is different. It's organic, you know.
Totally. But yeah. I just noticed that, you know, and this is kind of like when, you know, just being aware of my own self, or when you're with a group or with a person and you have this ability to sense an intensity of a situation, and to stay almost steady with it and not panic. And this
is,
something's about to change when you feel that. And that's so much different. That's so much different than misinterpreting that that intensity. Because I think in the past, you know, a lot of us, including me, we misinterpret intensity as, you know, bail out, forget it, never mind. And it's like, no, stay with it, stay with it. You know, it's kind of like the hot kitchen we talk about.
Well, especially if life is handing you lemon, you know, in other words, the jobs I were getting prior to Cormac, you know, were jobs that were clearly, you know, I mean, one, I wasn't getting paid. That one was easy to figure out. Okay, I got to leave this.
That was because that was truly not.
Well, that was about that was more about a lesson of, you know, my instincts knew this girl was going to have issues paying me. I mean, you know, she was a young single mother.
This is all about, to me, like alignment or
there it is. Right
your, and your value. And but, you know,
well, and reading something
accurately. There's many ways to, you know, to arrive. And that seemed to be part of the, you know, getting to where you are now. Because, you know, because there was, I mean, I remember that, you know, and there was things that you got out of that just by setting a boundary and saying, okay, enough, you know.
Well, I'll be honest, I let go of $900 and put zero fight. You know, like, they owed me $900, and when I realized that, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I have told friends of mine who have gone through divorces, you know, if I can give you any advice, don't put up a fight for anything financially. And they all are like, you know, you're crazy. And I laugh because all of the people that put up a fight, 2 years later, everything's depleted, nobody has anything, and then they come to me and go, I gave it all up. I'm like, yeah, you could have done that 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, because it almost feels like that's what that is. There's like a part of us that have to experience, you know, giving that up. And I know that most of the time when it's giving up, it's the, you know, it's the woman that suffers financially. Not always, but often. And, but there's got to be some level of, you know, the ability to rebuild based on the, your new being. You know, this is that is what the fluidity, these are hooks. These are like matrix hooks. Money is such a matrix hook that, you know, wants to snag us and drain every ounce of life out of us. And inevitably, you know, well, inevitably, we walking away from those hooks unhooks us even on a deeper level than I think you know until you're doing it.
Exactly.
That you really start letting go of, you know, because, I mean, I can tell you that getting this new job was about understanding control with Anya's parents. And how I give my power away. And it's also interesting, you know, it's so funny because half the times it's never about money. It's about, you know, are we locked into something or are we fluid? I mean, that really does seem to be, you know, the tool where it's utilized is money. But, you know, I have learned to let go of relationships. I've learned to let go of, my house burnt down in 1983. I let go of my whole house in one swoop, 5 hours. Bye. You know, it's like I moved back from Buffalo, and only the stuff that fit in my car. I let go of 30 years worth of my apartment things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been literally in situations where, in my humble opinion, I've learned to let go because it's only stuff. I mean, and the holding on to that kind of stuff as a trump to how you feel is ultimately a loser's game.
Yeah.
Nobody wins holding on to stuff because it's not organic. You're holding on to something that is just, you know, and people are like, how can I downsize? And I'm like, there's this amazing freedom in living in one room with, you know, just a couch and a bed and a hot plate. I mean, there's just travel light. These are days I highly recommend. If there's a battle in your experience, letting it go, you know, and of course people are like, but that means the other person gets it all. And it's like, you know, okay, but you know, you're putting a price tag on your emotional well-being that ultimately is the ultimate giving your power away. And, you know, like I said, you're not going to win. But wait, but with that being said, I want to share something tonight. Okay, so you heard Zach, Janine's son, singing the song, the opening. Zach's an amazing singer. And he has, coming up in a few weeks, he is going to be, what's it called when they play for the guys?
Yeah, for the last, three, 4 years, he's been working on an album and really concentrated in the last two. And just in about 3 weeks to 4 weeks in New York City, he'll be giving a showcase performance.
Showcase, that's it.
And at a pub, which is actually more it's for artists to play music. It's very, you know, the acoustics are great, and he'll be doing it for 4 or 5 major record companies. You know, Goldie had this incredible idea. Let me just say this, that one of the things, you know, I'm an artist and a writer, and I know how creativity is part of my life, that it's just like magic for me. And on last week, I've been helping Zach, you know, try to get to this point and pay the backup singers and help pay the guys that come in and to rehearse with him and his band, and to get to this big showcase performance. And I was telling Goldie, Zach came down from his studio in Newark, and I witnessed him sitting. He was sitting on the couch in the living room, and I heard him talking to one of the producers that he's been working with on the album. And then I heard him talking to the other one. He's been working with these two incredible men in their 60s and 70s that are masterful at what they do, and it's R&B and soul music. And one of the things that I physically noticed, which really caught me by surprise, was I loved hearing his creative process unfolding with these two men, and I physically felt happy. And I know that, you know, I love creativity. I am a creative person. But I noticed a difference in just, I felt happy. And I told Goldie this story, and I said, you know, Goldie, I could have been the person that could have said, oh, I think I should vacuum. But, you know, but instead, what I didn't do is I didn't miss this moment of witnessing his creative process happening, and how valuable that is, and how full of life that is. And Goldie knows, you know, we've been trying to help him out and raise money. And I saw that Goldie did donate $5 tonight. And I just want to thank you so much.
Well, because I can't ask of anyone what I have not done.
And the truth is, to be a part of any creative process, like I know Alan, my web guy's listening right now, I'm pretty sure, and, you know, he's a part of my creative process, and it's amazing what happens between us just creating these voiceover videos for my book, and, you know, something will fall into place that couldn't have fallen into place 2 days before that, and it's just, you just feel this life force and this unfolding. And so Goldie said to me, you know, and I'm completely in alignment with it, that to be a part of someone's creative process, to help someone manifest their dream, literally means that you are in tune with creating your own dream, manifesting your own dream and your own creativity. And so she had this incredible idea while in the bathtub that we would ask on the radio show that if anyone was so inclined to donate $5 to helping Zach get to do this showcase performance, and she already did it, which was fantastic. And so, you know, I just so appreciate it. And it is to be part of an amazing creative process, because he's extraordinary. His voice is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, anyone who wants to feel that they've helped this truly creative person manifest their dream, it's just a wonderful thing to do. And so,
well, and
you know,
Spring Tree Press, which I put up on the chat room.
Spring Tree Press at gmail.com.
If you go to PayPal and you put in where you're sending money to, they'll say an email address. You put that email address. That's Janine's email address, and then she can get her son the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I thought about it, you know, I called an ex of mine, you know, because he's a truck driver, and, you know, I was like, oh, you know, maybe he would be interested in, you know, basically being part of Zach's creative process, which is exactly how I explained it to him. And that didn't go so well. I mean, it's so funny because
Well, a lot of times it doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And I think that's also part
of
the creative process.
And I don't mind asking. Yeah, no, and I don't, but what's so interesting is, I mean, of course I don't mind the asking, here
yeah.
we are on the air asking, because,
yeah.
but see, what's so interesting is, it was, you see how people get the belief system around money, and,
right.
you know, I can tell you that money is the tool, it's the tool, because, you know, every week that me and Janine are doing the show, you know, how often do we say that, you know, if you do something through the show, it's so amplified. It's amplified
right.
because, you know, we're all listening. You know, each show is about 1,000 listeners. You know, and it struck me, you know, I wanted to give Zach, because Zach is about $500 short to making it to the next 3 weeks, having enough money to pay his backup singers and studio time and whoever it is that needs this money for him to really get tight with his, you know, his musical band and everything, so that when he goes to play in front of, you know, the major companies, you know, the Sonys or the Def Jams or whatever the label is that he's going to be playing for, you know, he feels prepared. And it hit me. It's like, well, we have 1,000 listeners, you know. I was like, if everybody, first of all, if everybody did $5, that'd be $5,000. You know, you'd have money to buy drinks for everybody. But out of 1,000 listeners, if 1%, which I believe is 100, that maybe that's 10%. I think that's 10%. 10% of you guys, you know, $5, you know, which is so funny, could mean nothing to you other than a cup of coffee, you know, a donut, you know, whatever. You know, $5 is not life breaking. But here's what I kept getting in the visual. It's like, you know, we have a community here at the Mystical Mother Earth Show. We do have a community. We do support each other in our creative process and in our challenging times and in our joyful times. You know, we come here week after week and really share, you know, the underbelly, you know, and it's like the potential from this, and it's not just one-sided. That's why I wanted to tell the story about how Kenny got the job, you know, and how his number just popped up. It's like, you know, I'm kind of being here for all of us, where this is an opportunity to literally support your own creative process.
Right.
And you know, you can go, how does that work? Well, it's just a magic that goes beyond, but I know it does. And so,
yes.
you know, I mean, beyond well, that, it's everybody's call. You know, I'm not going to guilt you. I promise.
No. It's, you know, but what's really kind of amazing is that, you know, I think it was New Year's Day, I was here by myself. I'm looking at the unfolding backwards now because there's something fun going on here. That, you know, I had this thing where I was like, this song would be so perfect to play today. And Zach was in California, and I texted him and I said, you can say no because I know copyright and all that. But I said, could I ever play You, Me, and Love as the opening song for the radio show today? And he said, yeah. And I was like, really? And he was so just generous and open and, yeah, Mom, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I called Goldie and I was like, Goldie, you know, let me send you the MP3. And she loved it. And we played the whole song. And, you know, and it became our opening song.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and then just recently, and I'll try to post that, Zach, I have a children's book, but it's really a young adult book, and I wrote a song in it called The River Goddess Blues, and it's a beautiful song, except of course it was just words in a book, and I had the idea that I wanted to put music to it and I would sing it, and I asked Zach and he said, yeah, and he composed an entire score for the song just like it was described in the book, and he did this about right before I went to Ireland in the first week of February.
Nice.
And he was so generous about it. And then he said, well, who's going to sing it, you, Mom? And he goes, well, who sings it in the book? And I said, oh, man. He goes, well, then I should sing. And I was like, really? Oh, great. So so Zach composed the music to my words and then sang the song. And it's absolutely beautiful. And we'll play it sometime, maybe next week, just to you know, let everyone hear it. And
hey, wait a minute. Now, let me see. If we have it, which I think we do, we'll play it as a close.
The River Goddess song?
Yeah, we have it. River Goddess Blues?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I'll play it
to
close out the show.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 5.5 minutes, I think.
4:06? Okay, that's what I got anyways.
All right. And then, so now... totally, and this is why I love singing about the unpredictableness.
Okay.
That here we are tonight, because Goldie goes, Jed, I have a great idea. And the minute I felt it, it just like downloaded in me. She said, let's, you know, talk about the creativity and supporting each other's creativity, because we're ultimately supporting our own creativity, and it's so full of life force. And now I'm looking back and going, look how this all unfolded, you know, Zach's song, and then, and it's just such a beautiful process to me, and that's honestly how it works.
Right on,
and so,
right on.
And so, you know, and I could say that with every cell in my body, because that's how
exactly.
It works for me.
It's
you know,
how it works for me as well.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if people donate, if you donate the $5, it's how it works for all of us. You know, it really is, I mean, I love it. This is, it's not for any of us. It's for Zach, you know, which is,
right.
You know, it's not like we're going, hey, you know, send us some money. You know, we want to buy handbags.
No, because think about this. There'll be this beautiful 28-year-old with a voice like I can't even tell you up on a stage in New York City in front of 4 or 5 major record labels singing. And a group of people listening to the Mystical Mother Earth Show will have helped that. And that's
yeah,
a really
right
amazing
on.
Thing. You know, and
right
so,
on.
You know, it's how the magic works. That's all I know.
Right. It really is. It's wonderful. And, you know, it's popping up. And you know, and it's beautiful. Whatever happens is beautiful.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah,
you can't lose. Don't worry. It's all beautiful. It just
yes,
is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, you know, we are also not attached to, you know, part of things like this, you can't be attached to it because that's like an anchor on it. You put it out there and then you let it go.
That's it.
It flies like a, you know, a helium balloon is going to land where it lands. But it was so interesting because I wanted to give money myself, and, I'm a little tight. I spent a lot of money joining the Y, and I have to build things up. But what's so interesting is, well, how ironic to come up with a creative idea to support a creative process. You know, I mean, that –
and that's how it works always, anyway, like, you know, the best stories in the world are all, they, you know, some of the greatest projects ever done, that's how they fall together.
That's,
you know,
exactly right. That's exactly right.
And I've learned that, you know, and I do trust it because, and believe me, it is the 11th hour, the 59th minute, the 59th
exactly.
second. It, that's how it works, and, you know, we're good with that, you know. And
well, you know, and remember when we were talking last week and I was saying that, you know, like all the channelings and stuff on Spirit Library just feel like they're, you know, they didn't feel like there was life in them. It felt like it was, you know.
Yeah, repetition.
Yeah, I can't even describe it. I just know I'm not, you know, I'm not drawn to to listening to, you know, the basic channelers that are out there, because it just doesn't feel organic to me. It feels like they're still playing within the matrix, you know, trying to make the story better. Because remember, this is all about, I'm all about leaving the matrix. Always about leaving the matrix. And I find it so interesting because the more I look towards people like, you know, like you hear George, the things he says, you can feel that it's like, you know, that was new information he brought in about, you know, the deception being they're going to try and tell us that Mother Earth is dying. It's like that was something organic. I could, and even though he's describing the artificial, the processes that he used to get to that clarity is organic.
Right.
You know, it's like, and this came organically. It's like
it always that's how it works.
Well, but, you know, I can tell you that I was one of those kids, when I was in elementary school, there were two messages very clearly stated to me. One was I didn't have a voice to sing, and they didn't let me sing in the shows. I spoke. I didn't sing.
Right.
And the other was that I wasn't creative. I couldn't paint and, you know, I don't know if they said I wasn't created or they told me, you know, you're not a good painter, you're not a good artist. And, like, I mean, I literally took that with me for many, many, many years.
Right.
And it's, again, it's just so interesting because when I went to college for the early childhood, all the early childhood classes are about you learn science through how can you teach a child? They teach you through creativity. You can teach, you know, like baking a cake, you teach them through measurements and things are changing. And, you know, all these classes I was taking was all about the creative process. And it was so funny because there was a stigma. I was like, I'm not creative. I don't know how to do this. And I think it's very similar to people feeling, what does my soul feel like? I don't know. How do I know I'm in connection with my soul? And I'm telling you, the creative process is, another word, it's a bridge for the understanding of the power of imagination. And our imaginations, according to Neil Kramer, are what create our reality. You know, it's like, so the ability or the depth to which we have an expanded or fluid imagination is in direct proportion to our ability to experience expanded fluid experiences. Magical, magical outcomes. And,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, you'll know when it's happening because I can't place my finger on it, but there's, you'll feel the organicness that something that you're going, because like the way I've been describing it to Janine lately, definitely pay it forward, Gemini. I agree with that totally. Lately, I've been having the sense that it's like you know, you put oil and water in a jar, and the oil settles and the water stays on top. Well, it almost feels like lately for me, like the thoughts of the matrix and what if there is, you know, hitchhikers in my, not if, the hitchhikers in my energy field, they are in my water. But the oil underneath is still, it's still in the process of evolution, whether the water is in that process or not. It's like, because I just get the sense that if I get the sense, it's almost like we're the river under life, and the fog that sits on top. It's not so much about necessarily getting rid of that, it in the sense of really just go to connect with the river, or connect with the oil, or however the part that is your soul and the organic, because once you connect with that, like I said, you know, I haven't stopped my mind from thinking doubtful things about myself or insecurities, but being connected underneath, I find I just keep moving towards the things that are connecting me to a time where most people on the planet right now are genuinely, you know, confused, in deep fear, angry. I have those feelings, but hands down, and, you know, no bullshit, I also have the sense that I'm connected to something that is greater than what I see in my immediate experience. I know there's something else going on than, you know, than the banks closing in Cyprus, or than me not having money, or, you know, than me not even having a baby, you know, whatever it is. Bye, mm-hmm. Gemini. Have fun at work, sweetheart. I'm so glad you can join us. Thank you, love. You know, and in that connection underneath is, you know, ultimately what has me dreaming the biggest dream of my imagination, which is birthing myself as a new humanity into a dimension that doesn't have any technology, no star outside of me, because everybody has a light within them. Nobody consumes anything. You know, the fifth dimension, it's like, you know, this is, I'm not a child, you know, with a haphazard dream. I'm literally a spiritual being that is focused on the prize and having the ability on a deeper and deeper level to connect with that presence, even without, it's almost like the baby in, I would imagine at some point the baby's in the mother's belly going, I know I'm going to be born at some point. You know, like, I don't know quite how that understanding would be, because, you know, it starts off from, you know, 2 cells and 4, 8, blah, 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 blah. You know, but at some point it knows it's not going to stay in that, in mom's belly. You know, it's like, it just knows it's going to go. It's being created for a whole different experience. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, I truly am. And
yeah.
And it's a confidence that is unshakable. You know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah. No, it seems like to me, like, when you're, the soul is always there, obviously, but when you're really consciously connected, it almost seems like the soul is like this magnetized, taking you like your true compass, and you're just with it and you're going, and the moves you're making are more organic, and they're, it is like that river underneath you, and it's really a fun and amazing when you're consciously aware and you're watching yourself do it, and part of you is even going, look at you. You know,
truly.
And,
I
know,
mean, yeah, right,
because,
on, right?
Right? Because there's,
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And it is a direct connection on another level to soul, that, because you were even saying to me about that funny thing about money and who you mention, you know, and I've had the experience too where who I mention it to, and there are some people that just right away are connected with the creative process going on for someone, and how giving to that is just so reflexive and it's just like, sure, here. And then there's others who you said, and I thought this was such an interesting way of describing, they're very much connected with the artificial possession of money, which
right.
then really has them double think and triple think, you know, parting with it.
It's a template because it's all about earning it.
But I've noticed it too, and I thought that was a very interesting description and accurate. Because I've had experiences where, you know, it's just a natural, like, of course. And then
right.
there's people that, you know, are living in that template with the artificial possession of money. And it's very noticeable. But when it comes to the creative process, I don't know, it just is a different way of living, and it feels really good. And it also can be, what I love about it, and you know, but
oh,
it can
I know
be,
what I want to share too.
Is
Sorry.
That it's an unknown. It's unknown. You're following a process that, you know, doesn't have, you can't find it in the manual. You know,
exactly.
you're living
right
this
on.
Open, this openness. So, yeah, so anyway. Thank
no,
you,
no, no,
Goldie.
That's good stuff, because I want to segue. That's actually
okay.
perfect. Here was a hit that I got this week, and I actually got it from Kelly Lachey in an interview she was doing. And it was very interesting because she was talking about the difference between experiencing your soul
mm-hmm.
and having a mental concept. Like, you know, reading in a book what a soul connection is, even listening to me and Janine, you know, you can listen to us and we talk about the soul, but here is something that she said that it was so, that struck me, like it went right in it just went right into my heart. And it was that if you don't experience your soul or creator or God or whatever you want to call it, I choose not to use the term God, if you don't experience it, you can't generate the gratitude from that experience, and it's actually the gratitude that's what's letting your soul know you did experience it.
Oh, that's really good.
I know. I went.
Wait. You have to say that again.
Okay.
That's really good. I agree. I think that's so.
Well, it emphasizes the importance of experience above anything else. You can't just stop. Now here we have, you know, the wonderful invitation tonight of a $5 donation. Now, truly, as the weeks go on and me and Janine, you know we're going to share it on the show, what happens to him. Now, let's say he gets signed by whomever. It doesn't big company, little company, it doesn't even matter. He gets signed. By that $5 donation, what you've actually done is become a fractal.
Well,
that was another thing that hit me, because it's like, you know what it is? We're building, it's connections like synapses.
Yeah.
So it's honoring the connection.
It's validating it.
And
right.
I would almost imagine something that you've been looking to create will come at the same validation, because it's almost like you become part of an organism that is at this very now moment focused on everybody's experiencing of the soul. And then expressing the gratitude, which is the way the soul knows that a synapse connection has been created.
And similar to talking on the radio, it's like the amplification, and then it reinforces
absolutely
this soul life. You know,
yeah,
right. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was. It struck me really, you know, because I was like, you
and
know,
who said
I've been
exactly?
on the. I believe Kelly Lachey. you know me. I listen to so many things. It could be
yeah,
Neil Kramer.
Yeah.
I mean, I apologize for.
No,
you
no.
know.
It's just so. It's so right on.
And it made sense, because the gratitude is the point that's and the key about gratitude is it's got to be authentic, because I can tell you, me and Kenny, when we had the conversation that we both got the jobs. The gratitude was just gushing out of us. You didn't have to twist our arms. you know, when people use quote unquote affirmations of gratitude, I mean,
right.
no offense, but that's bullshit.
Well,
because
you know,
this
like
is not
said,
a mental thing. It's
yeah,
not,
there's no life force in it.
Well, it's right. It's artificial. That's art. Gratitude
yeah.
is when you've gone the 2 years without the job. You think you're going
yeah.
to jail in less than an hour, and you get the job. I mean, like, I'm telling you that it there's. But when you have it, the experience of the gratitude is like it's like the window opening up to what I humbly and truly feel in my heart. Is the fifth dimension. That is the space we will live in permanently in the next dimension up, when we get birthed. You know, it's like, you know, there's momentary dissolving of the veil. You know, the apocalypse, it just made so much sense to me, you know, because even Evie Lorgan was sharing on the show that I was listening to her on the Shadow Explorers or whatever that, I can't remember the name.
Mm.
She was saying the key to everything is feeling.
Mm.
You know, this really is about, it's a
yeah.
feeling that comes because you've integrated the shadow aspect prior. You know, it almost seems like there's a dance we do. We break down, we break through. That breakthrough is organic. The gratitude for having a soul creator experience is organic. And once you know what it feels like, it's a template that now it's like radar. I'm looking for that everywhere. Where can and I'm doing things like showing up at the YMCA in my bathing suit, you know, to swim because – you know, I'm really coming back to a time where it's funny because I've worked out with personal trainers and I know how good it feels when to work your body. But this is a different situation in that, you know, I'm 48 years old. It's not about me just going to a gym and lifting weights. My body simply would not allow that right now. That would break me. That would not make me.
Right, right, right.
You know, so for me, it's like, oh, it's more sensual. It's about being in the water. But with that comes, you know, like when I'm working out in a gym, I can wear a big sweatshirt and baggy pants, and I'm okay. At least the attire makes me feel comfortable. You know, the attire in the sensual Mother Earth, you know, emotional pool is a bathing suit with, you know, could you hit me any, you know, any harder with my own insecurity? It's like
such transparency,
nope.
Goldie.
I'm telling you.
Right? It's such exposure on such, like, the you know, literally.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's funny because it makes sense that would be the next step, you know, letting go of makeup and things of that nature that, you know, now I'm letting go of clothes on some level. And, you know, it's like, but the joy and the sheer gratitude that, you know, I'm assisting my body, which is going to allow me to take care of Cormac, which is going to keep the money rolling in and, you know, keep my self-esteem going. You know, it just feels so...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's so beautiful. You can't... It goes beyond words. You know, it makes all the money I put into the, you know, getting the YMCA well worth it. You know, it's just... You can't explain.
Yeah.
These things go beyond the matrix. That's the point.
Oh, completely. And that's
yeah.
the, you know, I love it because it is about feeling. I mean, as much as you're doing brilliantly in describing it, I think. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, but as hard as it is to describe, because it is a feeling and an experience. And
yes.
You know, but you've done really well with it. And then I think, you know, just having the radio show and, you know, inviting me to have a show with you, and you know what that's done for me in allowing me to express myself. I knew right away. I was like, yeah, this you should do this, Jay. It would be a great challenge, but it's incredible practice to be able to just be at ease and talk with Goldie for 2 hours. I mean, it's extraordinary, you know,
yeah,
and then be able to bring in other people and have people hear us and we share. And then just even just this moment when you help Kenny, and then how your job unfolds, and then how now you're helping Zach. And, you know, I was telling Goldie this the other day, just yesterday, but it seems like the other day, but it was so, to me, it strikes me over and over again how the extraordinary is in the ordinary all the time. Like, like for me, this moment is the extraordinary in the ordinary. When I look back and I see the progression of Goldie and me and the radio show, when she called me one Sunday morning and said, I was going to call you at like 4 in the morning, but but I didn't, so I'm calling you now. Do you want to do a show with me? And I was like, what? Yeah. and you know, here we are, what, almost 2 years later, and, you know, like a year and a half, and, you know, and it's just incredible. And
right on.
Yeah,
is incredible. What a journey. By the way, I want to show respect to Sienna Lee. It's Shadowland Voyagers.
Okay.
I looked it up so I would know. Anyway, yeah.
No. So you know, it's just what I would say is one of the best ways to tap into the organic and the creative process and that other way is the ability to notice when something happens that you didn't expect.
And
it could be the most subtle little thing, you know. One of the examples that I had years ago, but was didn't know that a seagull, like, I live on a creek, but the creek is connected to a river and the river's connected to the ocean, so I don't live far from the sea, the ocean.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, it's not rare for me to have seagulls flying
overhead.
Oh, I see
what you're saying. Okay.
But I didn't notice that. But I just remember out of nowhere, you know, like an everyday thing, a seagull must have been flying over my head, had a shell in its mouth, dropped the shell, it was half, and the shell fell right in front of me from the sky. Now, you know, I could go, wow, shells are falling from the sky. But that wasn't the case. A shell fell from a seagull's beak. But what happened from that little thing that could have been missed by anybody, to me, that was the beginning of a story of a character in a book where the little girl in the story actually catches the shell because she puts her hand out and it begins a magical journey just by the very nature of catching the shell. And so, you know, these are the extraordinary things that and that can turn into, you know, a whole creative process, a book, a moment. And
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Over and over and over and over, I'm witnessing it. And it's so great. It's so great, you know.
Well, and we do seem to be ripe. I mean, we are so ripe.
Yes, I
for
believe
the magic
it is.
Right
we
now.
Are ripe, you know.
We are
all ripe for this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just a matter of things coming up to, you know, to dance with and being, you know, having your tentacles out in the world so that you can feel when the air like, it was so funny, right? So today is Monday, and I set the goal. I was telling this to Janine earlier. I set the goal that Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, which are the days I don't have Cormac, that would be the days I'd go to the Y and do my swimming. You know, and of course, today I woke up and nope, that wasn't happening.
I
didn't go to the forest. I didn't go to the Y. You know, it's like in my head I had the plan Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But, you know, organically, that I didn't feel that. But here's what I did feel. Organically, I heard the four plants that I had rooting in water, you know, on my windowsill. They went, we're ready, you know, get us a home. We want to plant some dirt. And I was like, wow, all right. And, you know, and it was so funny because I was like, okay, so you're not going to swim and support your back. You're going to lug around, you know, a 20-pound bag of dirt. And it was so funny. I went downstairs to the den going, shit, you know, don't mess up your back. You do have to work with Cormac tomorrow. I can't find the dirt. I'm looking in the garage. I'm looking under the porch. I can't. I go upstairs and, you know, I planned on doing this outside on the porch, and it's already there.
Oh, that's so great.
I didn't even remember putting it there, but I just went, oh, this feels so right. And then it started hitting me. You know, I was watching a lot of people, you know, I get it, it's snowing and it's really cold in a lot of places in America that, you know, it's essentially, it's spring and it still feels like winter. And as I was transplanting these plants, they were, you know, getting, you know, it's so funny. I got dirt under my nails. And when I went to take a shower before I went to work, I looked at my nails and went, nope, I don't want to wash that out. I want the dirt. Exactly. He's saying playing with dirt and plants is therapeutic. It was absolutely, it's like what my soul wanted, and these plants were just, they were telling me the story that, well, not the story, the frequency of spring isn't about what's happening on the outside. Spring is about what's going on inside of you. What's going on inside of you? And I was like, I mean, I was just feeling super wonderful that I had helped these plants find their home and, you know, put them in dirt. And, you know, I'm always, at one point I had in a different shaped jar, I had enough for two to go into two pots. And as I was separating their roots, I mean, I literally could feel them going, no, no. And I'm like, no, no, no. Okay. Like I was like hearing them going, don't pull me away from this being, you know, we've entangled quantumly and physically. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to give you space to grow. But I literally put those two planters next to each other and had their leaves touching. Like I was so conscious of them.
Yeah.
And when I sat and just looked at them after they were transplanted, you know, I heard a yippee, you know, like they were, and you know, I know I'm talking to plants, I get that, but that seems to be a subtlety that is available to me at this point, and who am I to argue with it? I love it, because I also looked around my house and I realized, you know, I have all these plants in the room that I'm in now, which is my computer room, and I have a wall of plants in my bedroom. And now I realize I'm starting to take over the dining room and the living room because, you know, I don't have, there's not enough window space. You know, I'm just putting them wherever there's window and sunlight coming in. And you know, in my humble opinion, plants, it's just like being in the forest. I mean, you should have plants in your home. They are so indicative of soul connection and organic messages and, you know, having an awareness of what Mother Earth's intentions are and communicating to them. Like, I think it's incredibly important that I have plants in the room that I sleep in. Because at Scott's house, I don't have any plants in the room. Oh, actually, that's not true. I have one plant. If it was up to me, you know, I would have every window in his house would have a plant on it.
Right.
But it's not up to me, so that's not what happens over there. But over here, you know, my father has his own little chest of plants in one of his windows. So, you know, he's cats and plants he's okay with. I mean, you know, I mean, at some point he might go, hey, you know, like, it's becoming a jungle in here. I don't know. But I know that I attribute my well-being, my choices, my ability to handle the pressure when, quote-unquote, the personality isn't getting its needs met. All of that is done with the assistance of my plants. They're a part of me, you know, I mean, and I have shared my DNA with them. I have done blood ceremonies with my Mensa blood to all of my plants, except the new ones, of course. I'll do that, you know, next time I get my period. But I want to be connected in the plant world, because I remember being told many moons ago that if you were ever stuck interdimensionally, if you had befriended a tree will help you get unstuck. And it was said to me at a time where I had nowhere near the awareness that I have today, where, you know, I'm not saying that I'm, like, conscious of fourth-dimensional things, but I am conscious of, you know, I think synchronicity is a fourth-dimensional experience. I think gratitude, the kind of gratitude I was talking about, is a not just a fourth-dimensional experience, but fourth- and fifth-dimensional. You know, I am getting the awareness of, because here's the truth. These other dimensions that we can't see with our five senses, the sense that we use to experience them is our feelings. And
that's
and it's not just
think,
our emotions, but sensations in the body. And you know, that's why being a sensual being is about, you know, kind of becoming aware of the subtle realms, you know, putting yourself into making your, you know, like when I drive my car, I'm a 20-foot field that I've set it up that from an intuitive point of view, I know what's happening in the car, in front of the one in front of me. So if that car hits its brakes, I know even before the car in front of me hits its brakes, I'm hitting my brakes because it's simply I've chosen to fill the field of 20 feet. And that might not even be big enough. I just know I know. I can't tell you. And why? Because this is what I'm saying as, oh, I want to share. I should share.
What?
That, remember that light thing I was telling you about when you're driving on the highway?
But tell me again.
Okay, well, I want to share this with everybody.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
If you're driving on a highway, and I don't know about you guys, but they have these new cars with these purple bluish headlights that, you know, they go into your mirror and then they go like, they like drill into my brain at night. It's like, it's incredibly forceful and it penetrates the center of my brain in very uncomfortable ways. And, you know, I used to always put my hand on the mirror and, you know, try and block the mirror. And then it struck me, don't give your power away, utilize your power. Again, this was a creative moment. And I said to Janine, I want to share this with the audience. So if you're driving at night and there's a car behind you, whether, you know, and they have these lights or they have their brights on, what you do is what I usually do is I'll be on the Merritt Parkway. It's a two-lane highway. So I'll be in the slow lane. And what I do is I move my mirror, my driver's side mirror, I move it out. So what actually happens is their headlights are now reflecting back to them. It's not coming into my car anymore. I've reflected it back to them. So they are now blinding themselves with these powerful blue-purple headlights. And I told Janine this the other day. I was like, hold your power, man. You know, and then of course they usually what they'll do is they'll get out from behind you and they'll pass you, which is fine by me. And then I move the mirror back in, and you know it's
very
so
effective.
It's very effective. Ah, see, Rich has done that. Yeah, I was like, I love it. I'm no longer a victim to these blue lights or fog lights, you know. And as long as you basically stay in the lane you're in, you know, you're not in, you know, don't forget that your mirror is like that and go to change lanes and not have, you got to be on point when you do that. But it's a wonderful way to basically take your power back. Don't give it away. And,
Right.
Solves the problem. We were talking about highways. That's why I went, oh,
reflecting
tonight,
the light back. It's reflecting the light back.
Well, exactly. You know, because I drive a Toyota Echo, which is, you know, a pretty small car. And around here, you know, everybody's got the SUVs and, you know, the bigger cars. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I noticed during, maybe it was Hurricane
Sandy?
Sandy? It might have been like when we had all these towns without lights, the street, you know, red light, green
power
light,
down.
Yellow.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, I noticed, like, in Wilton, everybody was very courteous, and they, you know, the left one went, you know, if you had a cross, you know, one would go, then the next one would go, then the next one would go, then the next one would go. And in Westport, however, there was no patience. There was nobody followed a uniformity. People were, you know, one would go and then some from another direction, and then someone from the same direction that just went, would another one would go. And it's like, you know, and I always laugh because, you know, because I drive a Toyota Echo, it from people's point of view who drive cars because their egos drive their car, they look at me and go, "You are nothing." And, you know, I'm going, don't underestimate this Toyota Echo or the driver, because if you hit me, you're going to see I ain't nothing, and you're going to have to pay me to get it fixed. Because, but it's so funny because I'm never afraid of getting hit. I literally just insert my presence and go, because as soon as I realize, oh, this isn't a game of courtesy, okay, well, then I'm coming in. And there's really not much you can do about it, and you can almost feel it around you, where they're like, you know, who the hell is this little Echo? You know, she should wait. It's like, well, that's your opinion, but it's not mine.
Right. Well, what do I call that? Is that like a driving in second gear or something like that? You're good at that. You know, it's like
that's true. That is true.
Right?
I've held my own in many a car experience. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a good driver, too.
Yeah, right? We sound like Rain Man now.
And that's not the
I'm
first
an excellent
time
driver.
I've been told that. But that I sound like Rain Man.
Well,
sure.
No, remember he said I'm an excellent driver.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. No, right on. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, fun day. Cool. Fun day, fun show.
Yeah, what's the theme of the show? I think... It was the 11th hour, the 59th minute, the 59th second,
right on.
Creative process. That's what I think.
I agree.
That's how it feels to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, I've always said it, you know, all our movies, you know, at least the great ones, everything happens in the 11th hour and the 11th minute, you know, the 59th minute, 59th
Absolutely.
Second. You know, and that's... And it's funny because that's not a template that Hollywood got, you know, to entertain us. That's a template from the organic that Hollywood utilizes. You know, that's not artificial. Artificial is trying to plan these things. That's artificial.
This is the unfolding.
This is the unfolding, right, with an intelligence that is so... You know, so beyond the scope of quote unquote the human brain to comprehend, you know, because we're not supposed to comprehend it. But here's what I know. I might not understand how a light switch works when I turn the light on, but I flip the switch and I expect to see lights.
Mm-hmm.
There are templates of the organic that, in my humble opinion, if once you learn the template, you know. It works in the same manner, even though I don't know how it works.
That's right. That's right.
There is, on some level, a consistency to it, because that's why it's a template. You know, it's like one thing that
Kramer. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Neil Kramer talks about how, the organic. Shit, I lost what I was going to say. Wait a minute, it's a template. Well, he talked about that. The reason why in the 11th hour things always work out, because he was talking about the virtues. And he said, virtues aren't about, let me tell you what virtues are. It's much easier to tell you what they are than what they aren't. Virtues are... supported by the universe because they are organic. Virtues are organic. So the reason why it happens at the 11th hour in the 59th minute is because the artificial is, it's almost like the artificial comes in stomping and like one of the things I noticed about machinery, because I'm so acutely aware that in the fifth dimension there's no machinery. One of the things I notice about machinery is it's always tearing up Mother Nature. I see machines that take trees down. I see machines that dig holes in her. It's always anti-life. Machinery just doesn't. It doesn't work for me. It's so funny because Scott loves machines. You know, I mean, he's got a press downstairs and a drill thing, and I mean, he just loves it. And
yeah.
You know, I really just see it as, well, as Neil Kramer basically said, the machinery that we have, technology as well, is simply a template of what we are organically. So the internet is an amazing technology, but we could really connect instantly without this. This is a rendition of
right.
the organic abilities that we have. And that goes for every single technology and or machine is a template of the organic. And because the universe supports all the organic, there's no way the organic can lose. It can never be trumped by something that's a symbol of it, because the organic's not symbolic. The organic is what is, you know, the creative power behind all of it, including
yes.
the artificial on some level.
No, and I think that's why it's really good to remember that, because that reinforces the awareness and that noticing that I was talking about before, that underneath the organic is always, you know, the trumping the artificial. And, you know, if you can connect to that, you will really resonate towards that more. But I think to remember that the organic is always the predominant force, life force, that it helps someone go, okay. Because, you know, I think when our confidence, you know, we talk about our confidence as getting rocked, but knowing that the organic is really your guide, it helps me.
Exactly.
It just helps me, you know, in those times when I'm like, whoa, you know?
Well,
I mean,
it's the ultimate ally. I mean, like, really, knowing it's there.
Knowing it, yeah.
It's the ultimate, you know, it's like it literally can give you can relax, because even if the artificial is kicking your ass from here to Alaska, ultimately, the organic is going to trump it. I mean, and what does that mean? That means if you're a drug addict, I mean, ultimately, even if it's the moment before death, you know, if you tuned into the organic, you would have total clarity about your entire life and why you were a drug addict. And maybe it was because you needed to balance out that experience, you know. Because, see, that's another thing that the organic does so beautifully. It doesn't do things messy. You know, everything is so whole and complete,
yeah.
You know, because my ability to let go of my past
mm-hmm.
is so, since really becoming, you know, doing this dance with Mother Nature, you know, you don't hear me on the radio show talking about, you know, being molested as a kid. And I'm not saying, you know, that didn't bring me to who I am. But the truth is, it's a complete situation. I'm good with that part of my life. I have healed it, you know, and it took me years to do it. But when it's actually done, it's like, I mean, it almost feels like a different person went through that. I don't feel it I don't have a charge in my gut.
Yeah.
When I say that, you know, it's really, I'm more interested in, you know, I have financial shit going on, or, you know, I'm running away from whatever, you know, it just seems to me that once, if you're working with the organic, everything seems to happen very clean, very neat. And when I'm talking energetically, you know, it's not, the artificial seems to be so sloppy in. It almost feels like it promises you one thing, but it's lying to you. Because you never, you know, there were so many things I wanted to do. There were so many things I was trying to do to live a peaceful life, when ultimately my peace is coming from, you know, sitting in my pain, having the breakthrough, and then trusting that breakthrough is not is not fake. That breakthrough experience is what is going to literally carry me across dimensions. You know, when it comes down to it, that is the frequency that I'm going to surf into a permanent state of being in a dimension that has no technology. You know, and those are big statements, but you can make those kind of statements in when you're aligned with the organic, because, you know, it's not just me birthing, it's her birthing too.
I posted, did you see what I posted on Facebook, on my, what do you call that, the big picture, not the
cover,
profile.
The cover?
Yeah, the cover.
Nobody
it would,
can.
It, you know, you remember how you were talking about the doorways.
I did see that.
I posted a doorway of mine from quite a long time ago, but it just felt like the doorway to post, and I put, and this is about being ripe, because I think we're all ripe. I think the time is ripe, and it says, "It's time," said the familiar voice to the curious rabbit. "I dare you." And it's like, you know, "I dare you to walk through." And I thought of that Moneyball comment when he goes, you know, "Everyone through the wall gets a little bloody nose first," you know, the first one through the wall, because I posted this beautiful stone wall that I had painted in 98 with the door open and the light coming out of the door. It's into some kind of garden, but it's so, did you see it?
I just shared it on my wall.
And it's just gorgeous. I really do feel that why I wrote, and this was all this morning, and I hadn't planned it, so once again, I was just like following something, like you with your plants.
Right.
You know, it was like I was just feeling, I was like, ooh, like, let me, what, a door? Okay. And then I was going through my, going, which one? And then I posted like a hand-painted rabbit I had done, and the familiar voice, of course. The familiar voice talking is our own voice, you know, and so
exactly.
That's like, yeah, so, and I said,
exactly.
"I dare you," but it really is to me, because the time is perfect right now. We're so ripe for all of this.
So ripe. I mean,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, and I promise you, if you don't feel that, you're probably in the compression, but you know, there's no better way to explain it than, you know, the compression is the birth canal. You know, so you're not
That's
doing
right.
anything wrong if you feel compression. It's just a matter of your definition of compression you feel is not ripe for change. You know, and it's like,
yeah.
And the organic doesn't care what you define it as. You know,
let me say this, you know, because my point about earlier when I said that what I'm noticing is this time, you know, it's how you handle the intensity of a moment. Like, stay with it, don't panic. And now, and if people remember, or I'll tell you, I was a labor and delivery nurse for 7 years.
Yeah, right.
So I helped women in their most intense moments, you
yeah.
know, having a baby. And it is intense. It's physically intense. It's emotionally intense. But
Absolutely.
it is part of the birthing process. And it was about facilitating, you know, how to be in that intensity. And
yeah.
and so
yeah.
I think that why I'm keen on noticing, because that was my job, you know, I knew when contractions were coming. I knew how a contraction was stronger. You know, I could feel the woman and her emotional state. And so I am astute to know and be aware of intensity for all of us right now, but how
exactly.
you handle the intensity is really key, because there's so much opportunity in that intensity if you can just stay with it, not run from it, and go through it. You will birth the treasure, you know,
exactly.
baby, yourself, whatever. But
yes.
that's one of the things that I guess I'm very aware of right now, because anybody's story that I'm listening to, including my own, there's these moments of great intensity, but if you stay with it, there's something coming on the other side.
There really
so,
is. I mean, and
yeah.
everybody's talking about it in, you know, quote-unquote, the
yeah.
spiritual community. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's not a surprise that everybody's calling this a birthing. And and I get it, because there are some people birthing into the fourth dimension and some people birthing into the fifth dimension. And what do I mean by that? Meaning there will be a birth in the artificial world and there will be a birth in the organic world. Mm-hmm. And neither is better or worse, but but they are different in their in what the experiences will be. It is different, but not better or worse, because if you go in artificial, okay, so you go around the next 26,000 years and you come out and you do it the next procession of the, because we're eternal. You know, there's no, you know, it really is amazing too how relaxed I've become on so many things, where I had this thing where I had to convince the world that they had to awaken and they had to, you know, go to their path. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, I can honestly tell you, I don't know what journey Scott is going to take. Scott could very, very easily go the artificial path because his true desire and love of technology, you know, and okay, you know, I mean, like, so, you know, it's like people ask all the time, can I take somebody with me? You know, no. No, you can you can connect with people going organically with you. Like, I know Janine's going organic because she knows it. I know I'm going organic because I know it. You know, so, okay, so we're going organic, you know. But, and this is what I mean when I share that, you know, I do things very selfishly. We don't have a lot of time, and I'll probably talk about this next week, but you know, I like to share that when I talk these words, they're really applicable in the organic, you know, being selfish in organic darkness. It's imperative to be selfish when you're integrating shadow work, because the truth is you're gonna probably spend a lot of time being by yourself while you're doing this integrative work. And so if you don't have a sense of self, which is how I mean being selfish, then you're going to run from the experience of doing the integration, and you're going to go hide in the tribe. You know, and here's the funny part. If you're really meant to do it from your soul's perspective, the tribe's going to kick you out. and then you're going to go, okay, it's probably a good time for me to be selfish. Exactly. Because, you know, I always laugh when I finally figured out after 10 years of internet dating that I wasn't going to find my husband on the internet. I mean, I just wasn't. How did I know that? Well, for 10 years, I wasn't finding my husband on the internet. You know, it's like, it took me a while because I didn't want to let go of, quote unquote, that whole idea that I wasn't going to have a significant partner. And then, of course, once I let go of it, Scott came into my life. You know, and again, if you told me that I was going to be, you know, with a little yellow bus person, you know, as a significant other for 5 years in one of the most stressful, intense times of my life, you know, back in the day, I would have said, yeah, right. You know, like, I don't think so. And here I am. You know, it's an amazing journey when you look in hindsight that, you know, your soul's going to give you everything you're supposed to have. You can argue with it or not. And aligning yourself with what is, as opposed to what you, quote unquote, want it to be, it's a much easier experience if you align yourself with what is.
Well, I like what you said, because how did I know I wasn't going to find my soulmate? Because you didn't.
Exactly.
That's pretty good, Goldie.
Well, because I went on so many bad dates. I mean, my brother used to go...
I know, but I like your proof, because I did it.
Well, yes, so exactly. Great. Well, and I finally backed off, and, you know, and what I was really accepting is that I'm doing, this journey is about me doing this alone. That was the real acceptance. I was like, no, and it's like, yes.
Well, I painfully got kicked out of several tribes, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Exactly. Exactly. So
when I look back, I'm like, man, I was so good I got kicked out of that club.
Well, of course, I mean, you know, and I simply realized that it allowed me to do the journey I needed to do.
That's it.
I'm grateful to do the journey I'm here to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about tribes anymore. I'm going to the fifth dimension, and I will integrate and be alone and do the soul work and, you know, take back my shadow and do it smiling, because now that I know what I'm doing it for, I'm really not so angry about doing it. You know,
that's
it's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space to be in, actually. For the first time in a very long time, if not ever, I feel like I was born to be in these times. I mean, I just do. And
that's
pretty amazing.
Good one.
Yeah, I really it's crazy, but I've had that sensation on several, you know, occasions. I just wake up and it's like, wow, I'm born to be here right now. I'm happy to enter the fifth, but I'm happy to be here in this last stretch to get me there, because it's going to be a wild ride. I mean, it already is. It already is. So
yeah,
no surprise there. It already is.
Hey, it's 10 o'clock. Can you believe
it's 10
that?
O'clock. Yes. Okay, so I want you to share your information, including a phone number.
Okay.
And then we're going to play his song.
Okay.
You know, your song. Yes.
Yes, the River Goddess. Yeah, the River Goddess Blues song.
Yes.
Okay,
so it'll be in the
archives. I have a number, 732-872-8002. That's to get in touch with me if anyone wants to do, you know, some kind of process with me. And I have a website, jlkimmel.com. And if anyone wants to go on PayPal and go to springtreepress@gmail.com and, you know, help the creative process of Zach on stage.
And yourself. It's a simultaneous.
Oh, and yourself. That's right. You help creativity. You help creativity. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Goldie. That was wonderful.
You're so welcome. I love you, baby. And what do I don't have any interviews coming up yet. I'll let you know if we do. So we'll see you guys here next Monday. And we're going to close out the song with the River Goddess Blues, which are lyrics by Janine Kimmel and musical score and sung by Zach Kimmel. All right, you guys have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Listen.